Thanks, guys. I'm going to read now from Mark chapter 12, if you want to follow. I'm going to read verses 28 through 31. Let thy goodness like a fetter. Thank you, David, for that definition. When he said fetter, I immediately thought of a really good Swiss tennis player. Roger Federer, sorry. Got to start somewhere. Okay, I'm in Mark 12. I want you to hear verses 28 through 31. One of the scribes, one of the legal experts that were around, came to Jesus and asked him this question: which command is the most important of them all? Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. The word of the Lord. Well, let me say, happy 2022. How's your eyesight? 2022, what's 22 going to bring? I was thinking about it, you know, so far the 2020s have been a dud. I mean, really, it couldn't have got much worse. I mean, in the 20th century, we had the Roaring 20s. Remember that? Maybe you read about it in history. These are far from the Roaring 20s. These are the Snoring 20s. What's 2022 going to bring? I don't know. Are we going to get back to normal? I don't know. I've canceled more flights in the last year and a half going all over the place. More hotels have been canceled because of the Snoring 20s. I don't know what the future brings. We were in a staff meeting the other day, and I said I was going to just give some thoughts about 2022 and what it's going to look like. And there was some snickering, some respectful snickering going on from the staff. What 2022 is going to look like, how do you know what it's going to look like? Well, I don't really, but here's some of the things. We're going to do a series starting at the end of January, a series in here, through the book of Judges. That's quite a task. I've never taught through the book of Judges, and it's an interesting book because in some ways it's a downer of a book because everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes and everything's going wrong. And yet I think there are some key parallels to our day and to that day that we will do when we go through the book of Judges. So that's a little bit of 2022. You're going to see some movement in our kids' ministry in 2022. Right off the bat, we're going to do something, a pilot program. A number of parents have agreed to participate in it. And so we're going to start a pilot program in our kids' program early in 22. And then we hope for some personnel addition in early in 2022 to help us lead children's ministry. And then one other thing, throughout the entire year, I want to recalibrate our aim. What are we aiming for? What are we doing church for at all about? And so we're going to define in and out throughout the entire disciple of Jesus Christ look like. And you're going to hear that in and out throughout the entire year, and you're going to hear a little bit of that today as well. But back to that question, what's 2022 going to look like? I have no clue. And the fuzziness of it can make us really nervous and can make us really act in ways like we shouldn't. When I think of the fuzziness of the future and it not being clear at all, my mind immediately goes to the nation of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, their slavery in Egypt, and heading to the promised land. For 40 years, they wandered in fuzziness. For 40 years, they had no clue of what the future was going to be like. There was supposedly a promised land ahead, but they couldn't see it. Where was God? And so this fuzziness made them act in really odd ways. They longed for the past. Oh, if we could just go back to Egypt. So not only were they longing for the past, they were misbehaving in the present. They were immorality, idolatry was part of this people, all because they couldn't see the future. And they were dismissing the future. God promised his presence, and he promised a land, and we don't see it, so we don't believe it. And so the fuzziness of the future for these people is like, we don't know how to live. We don't want to copy that at all. Though we look at 2022 and we say, I don't know. Let's not copy Israel. Let's listen to the words of Solomon just for a minute. As you look ahead and you look at a path that seems kind of fuzzy and you're not sure where to go, I think Solomon's words are really good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, know him, and he will make your paths straight. For your health or your career or a relationship, and everything seems kind of fuzzy. What do you do? The Lord says, trust me, know me, follow me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God's already there, and he's not wringing his hands, worried about what 2022 is going to be like. Trust him. He's good. Know him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your understanding and acknowledge him. Know him. Don't just tip your hat at him. Know him. Know his character. He's good. He's gracious. Know his will. It's right. Trust him and know him. And then, as Jesus said over and over again to people, follow me. Follow me. That's all he asks. And if you're following a leader that knows where he's going, you follow because you trust and you know his character. Jesus says, follow me. And he will make your paths straight. Straight. Not necessarily easy. Not necessarily downhill. Not necessarily short. But the path will be straight. Which is why when someone's in crisis, what do you tell them? Just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. Why? Because the path's straight. Just take one step. That's all. That's why when Jesus said, follow me, his is the straight path. He knows where he's going. And so when you face a fuzzy future, the calling isn't to worry or panic, to say, oh no, we can't go forward. The calling is trust in the Lord, know his character, and follow his leading, even as we look at 2022. I read that passage from Mark chapter 12. If you had a priority list, what would be the most important thing to do on a blurry day? If your house is on fire, what are you going to grab? Maybe you're going to grab your pet or your wallet or your computer. What are the couple of things you're going to grab when everything is crazy and this is what I've got to have? That's your priority. A fellow comes up to Jesus there in Mark 12. He had just heard Jesus answer very smartly several critics. The whole context is a fuzzy future, and they are wondering, what's the future of our nation? Because we have Caesar right here. What's the future of Messiah? Because you say he's that. What's the future of our life? Because you say that there's resurrection. The future's really fuzzy, and they're testing Jesus. And they said to Jesus, you believe in resurrection. Well, we don't. So suppose a woman marries a guy and he dies and she marries seven times and every one of them dies. Which one is she married to in heaven? And Jesus just answered them in the most wise way to show the folly of their question, a folly that was brought on by the fuzziness as they looked into the future. This guy hears that, and he says, that was really smart. And he goes to Jesus and he says, help me prioritize my life. Help me know what the most important thing I should be doing next is. And so here's what he says. It's what I read before. One of the scribes approached Jesus when he heard this answer that Jesus gave. Which command is the most important of them all? Things, what's the most important thing? How I should live. Of all of these things, what's the most important thing? What's the most important one? Jesus answered and said, the most important is, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, let's establish who God is. Now, here's your priority. Love God. Love people. Verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with all that you've got. Love God. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor, the one that's near, the one that's far. The one that's in here, the one that's out there. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. If you could summarize the teaching and the ministry of Christ into the one or two things that you're going to grab out of this house on fire, if you could summarize the priority when I'm following him on the path of a fuzzy future into one word, it's love. And the direction goes this way, and it goes this way. We were born for relationships. The relationship this way and the relationship this way is what are the highest priorities that the Lord calls us to. Now, we might not be very clear on 2022. And I do think it's time to recalibrate. What are we doing? What are we doing as a fellowship or as a church? There are so many voices that communicate into our lives as followers of Christ. So many things that communicate into our lives that try to tell us this is what being a Christian is like, and it's really not. And this is a year where I want us to really determine our priorities and to live out those priorities, regardless of what 2022 is like. Our priorities are really clear. What's the most important one, Jesus? It's vertical. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And it's horizontal. And love your neighbor as yourself. Throughout the year, and then in the years to come, we're going to pick that apart. And we're going to talk about the various relationships of love that we ought to be having as followers of Jesus Christ. What is the greatest command, Jesus? He went right to love. He didn't go to learn. He didn't go to any of other things that we might think about. He went right to love. And we're going to go where he went throughout this year and in the years to come. So, upward. What's our priority? Our priority is to love God, to be in real fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to love God. I love sweets. And Christmas is an awful time to love sweets. Sue bakes so many things that Keebler is hiring her this coming year. You give us so many things, whether it's peanut brittle or chocolates or coconut cream pies. I love sweets. And in my house is now overweight because it has so many sweets in it. I love sweets. Italians make these thing called to think about the chocolate and how delicious. Italians make these thing called baci, which means kisses. And there are these little chocolates that are filled with hazelnuts. They're to die for. We have three boxes still in my house. After dinner, in Italy, they also make this chocolate spread called Nutella. Have you ever had Nutella? Wow. You get a freshly baked bread from Heinen's, and then you just spread the Nutella on it. And it's amazing. I love sweets. And it's not enough just to think about sweets or to talk about sweets. You got to experience the sweets. You got to devour the sweets. You got to internalize the sweets. And then they will have an influence on your life. Like they'll make you go to sleep when you're supposed to be watching a football game on TV. Or if you're like me, they make your joints ache. But they will have an influence on you because you've experienced the sweets. There was a movie out, I bet 20 years ago, French movie called Chocolate. Or in French, it's called Chocolat. And it's about this mother and daughter that move into this little French village. And they are chocolate makers. And so they rent out this little place for their store, and they have all the machinery to make the chocolate. And they make the most exquisite chocolate the few people in the village have ever tasted. And they're coming and they're eating and they're loving the chocolate. And everybody is just devouring this couple's chocolate. Everybody except one guy. And it's this stick-in-the-mud mayor of the town who for some reason is anti-chocolate. I think in some ways, if I'm watching the story right, he goes crazy anti-chocolate. And I think the chocolate sort of is a metaphor for the sins of the flesh or whatever. But he is so anti-chocolate. He's going to shut these ladies down. And everywhere he goes, no chocolate. So finally, he decides to stop them. He breaks into the store late at night just to destroy it so they can never sell chocolate again. And as he's destroying all the chocolate and the machinery, the chocolate is flying all over the place, and a little bit gets on his face. And he tastes it. And he becomes enamored with it. And so he eats all of the chocolate in the store until he finally faints because of a sugar high, and out he goes. And it made me think, it's one thing to talk about chocolate. It's one thing to talk about sweets. It's another thing to taste it and experience it. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, taste the Lord and see that he's good. It's one thing to talk about God and his goodness, or discuss it, or think about it, or read about it. It's another thing to actually experience it. And if we are going to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it can't just be textbook. It's got to be experienced. And we've got to realize that. I've got two things right here. The first one is God the Holy Spirit. And there are some really clear instructions on how we experience and live in the nature of the Holy Spirit. This is the verse that we're going to look at in the next 2 weeks. I say then, walk by the Spirit. To walk by something is to walk with them, to experience them, to follow their lead. Walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. All of those habits that you can't seem to break, seem to get rid of it. Laws will never get rid of sin. But experiencing, tasting the leadership of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, watch your life change. That's the next 2 weeks. Then right after the Judges series, we're going to do a whole month of what I'm calling dialoguing with the Almighty. Dialoguing with the Almighty. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray constantly. Don't quit praying. The old King James would say, pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. That's my part of the dialogue. I'm talking to God. I'm telling him how much I love him, what my needs are. That's my part of the dialogue. But the other part of the dialogue is God talking to me, and it's scripture. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. We're going to spend a whole month, I think it's May, where we are going to look at our dialogue with the Lord. To actually experience a relationship with somebody, maybe you're married, maybe you have children, to experience that relationship, there better be communication. And it needs to be a dialogue. So the whole first part of this recalibrating our aim is an upward one. Jesus said the highest priority, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, I better get to know this God that I love. I better get to experience him. That's what I would call the vertical direction. The horizontal direction, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the horizontal direction. Love your neighbor as yourself. To love God is to love what God loves. God loves people. God loves his. The horizontal is love your neighbor as yourself. The horizontal is such an important part of Christian discipleship. To love people in here and out there. I'm sure you've been watching the news, and recently you heard about South African man Desmond Tutu, who passed away. He was the Anglican Archbishop of South Africa for quite a while. He was a strong voice, anti-apartheid, a very strong voice for equality of races in South Africa. He and Mandela did amazing things in that country. Well, he introduced an African word to the world. And the African word that had to do with relationships was the word Ubuntu. And Ubuntu, he spoke it to Africa, where you had in Africa, they were called the blacks, the coloreds, and the whites. And they're all not getting along because of apartheid. He introduced Ubuntu to say, we're melded together as a people. Here's what he says. My humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life, Ubuntu. And in many ways, when the Lord says the highest command is to love the Lord your God and to love what he loves and to love others in the same manner, that's Ubuntu. That's saying we're together. It's enough of this individuality of Christianity. There is a part to that, but it can go overboard where Jesus is my personal savior and I don't give a rip about you. Oh, no. Ubuntu says, no, I give a huge rip about you and about others. We have been engineered for relationships. Followers, all different, but fellow Christ followers that need each other. That's Ubuntu. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are to love our neighbors. Inside, that means every one of us contribute to this family. I love this verse. He's talking about spiritual gifts when he says a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. We all need each other. I was chatting before the service with Sherman Lilly. Some of you know Sherman Lilly. Boy, are they vital to this body. They are the governors of the senior citizens of our church. And every time somebody from that fellow part of our fellowship is either ill or in trouble or needs prayer, boy, you can bet Lilly and Sherm are telling me immediately. They're vital to this body. I'm thinking of Melissa and Tom and Ann and others that serve in our kids' ministry faithfully all the time. They are so vital to this ministry. We couldn't do church without them. That's what that means. God has given each of us our talents, our gifts, our skills, our experiences for the common good of the entire body. And so up here on the second day of the new year, when we're still celebrating the holidays a little bit, you've got these two guys playing music here. Oftentimes we have many more. What are they doing? They're using their talents, their gifts, their experiences to lead us all in worship. If we're going to be the church that God calls us to be, then this can't be a spectator sport. Every one of us have been gifted. Every one of us plays a part, must play a part with our talents and with our experiences right now. Message. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to the few big cheeses of the church. Now, to each person. And later on this year, we're going to challenge you all year long, but later on this year, we're going to be talking about what is the church and how has God gifted you? And what is your part as you try to plug into the fellowship of this ministry? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor in here. Love your neighbor out there. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Jeremiah 29:7. We talk a lot about how Trinity is called to bless the city. We get that phrase from this. The exiles of Israel are living in Babylon, and they're not liking where they are because the people talk a weird language and have a weird morality, and they live in strange ways, and we just don't. Oh, no. Jeremiah says, no. Quit creating a ghetto and separating yourselves from the people who don't know the Lord. You need to bless those people that don't know the Lord. Here's what he says. Pursue the well-being of your city, the city that I have deported to you. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive. That's why every time you leave this building, going out that door, you see the facsimile of the Van Gogh's Starry Night, picture of a European village at night, all in the dark, and there's the church right in the middle, and the lights are off. And the only testimony of God's presence are the stars in the sky, where the testimony of God's goodness and presence should have been the lights on in that church. And that's our calling. And we do it well. Hear me say this. I think Trinity does this so well. We just have to keep going. Whether it's giving away Christmas trees at Christmas time, ministries in our community, or rescuing 165 Indian children. That's what that is. That's loving the neighbor, whether in here or out there. I was reading a book some time ago on 21st century discipleship. Love this quote. Thought I'd give it to you. We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. That's blessing the city. That's shining the light of the city. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. I think it's interesting Jesus didn't say, and love your neighbor instead of yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in some ways, there's a third dimension here. And I'm not stretching it to pause here. Not instead of yourself. Now, we live in a narcissistic, self-consumed society, so I want to be really careful here. But there's no way that I can truly love my neighbor until I know myself as well. Now, at times, I can be really unhealthy about that. I think Jesus is just assuming that the normal person is going to take care of themselves. You see your face in the mirror and you wash it. You see your friend with a need and you help them. And so a significant part of discipleship is this, to know ourselves, to be self-aware. What's the word now? Emotionally intelligent. Yeah, there's a bit of that. And so the psalmist echoes that a little bit. Search me, O God. Any offensive way in me? Because I'm not clear about this yet. And lead me in the way everlasting. Another important aspect of recalibrating what our aim is, our discipleship in Christ, is having a right view of ourselves, of understanding ourselves, to be, yeah, I don't think I need to teach you how to love yourself, but I think to know ourselves, to be emotionally intelligent, to say, oh, I really drive other people crazy when I do that, or I'm really good at that. Search me, O God. 2022 may be a blurry year. I don't know. But our calling and our priorities are not blurry at all. Our calling, our priorities. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. So many other voices will try to communicate what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The clearest way he could put it, and I'm just repeating what the master said. You want to know what the most important thing is? Love God, love people. Do that, you'll change the world.